Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Crane Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Terence Corrigan. Right, so let's get into the news of today, and I'm just going to start off by saying that with things moving so quickly and with so much now kind of waiting for deadlines, it's going to be a little bit of a difficult episode to do this one because it's very likely going to be a little bit out of date by the time it airs at 5 o'clock, but we'll do our best when we're recording this at about 3:30 on Thursday afternoon. And that is to talk about the state of coalition governments. There's very little time left for South Africa to get together some coalition governments. Parliament is swearing in MPs tomorrow starting at 9 o'clock, and things still don't seem settled yet. The election of the president is going to take place after that, and it's going to be a bit of drama, I think, if a deal isn't in place between some of the players before then. There was a comment from DA leader John Steenhuisen this morning saying that the DA hasn't decided yet whether it's going to nominate a presidential candidate to stand against Ramaphosa, and that depends entirely on whether they work out the deal framework that they've been discussing with the ANC for the past few days. Steenhuisen said, "We have to do a deal and get a framework agreement in place, including provinces. Yes, our caucus meeting on Thursday night, which is tonight, which is, I think, supposed to finish around 7 or somewhere around there, will decide if enough of a foundation has been laid to steer South Africa out of the mess it's in. We can work out the details of an agreement later, but we cannot go in on a wing and a prayer." So things are still very much in the balance, but it does look like at this stage that an IFP, DA, and ANC coalition is the most likely outcome of the negotiations. Terence, what do you make of this?
Well, the times they are changing. Look, I have always been a little skeptical about how workable such an arrangement would be, but that does seem to be the direction things are moving in. And when you say that this might be out of date by the time you watch it, you try filing for a Monday column, where you have whole 24-hour periods. My intuition tells me that the DA will probably go with some arrangement that allows President Ramaphosa to be reelected on the principle that he's the devil you know. Whether they will actually vote or abstain, I think that's up in the air. But I suspect that these are completely uncharted waters. I doubt very much that a deal will be in place. But let's say what you might have is a proto-deal. My sense of it is that the DA would probably be better advised to work on the process of building trust. And that's why I would counsel keeping out of a cabinet, at least for the moment. But all the indications that we've had, and perhaps they've been misleading, are that the DA seems to be preparing to enter one. Interesting times we live in.
Indeed. So, it does look like there's something along those lines that may have been agreed, although, the information is scarce. We've got little bits of snippets here and there that the media have reported, but by and large, there's little indication of what the final thing will look like. And as you say, the DA is only currently talking about what they call a framework agreement. So all of the details will only be put in place afterwards. But tomorrow we will see whether President Ramaphosa is indeed re-elected as president of South Africa. And I think while that is the most likely outcome, it's not the only outcome. We could get all sorts of other weird things. For example, just to clarify, the presidential election in parliament, I believe, is done by secret ballot by the MPs. And as a result, you could certainly have members of the ANC maybe defecting and voting for MK's candidates. Who knows? Who knows if NK will even be there to put up a candidate? They've given all sorts of confusing messages on that one, although it seems currently like they're still keen to stay away. They lost their court case, by the way, to get Parliament's sitting interdicted by the Constitutional Court, as expected. So, things are, as you say, very uncertain. But let's look at some of the provinces. Let's talk a little bit about the Northern Cape, a province that normally doesn't get much limelight. And that is, too, going to have a coalition government. But it's not a coalition I think a lot of people necessarily saw coming before the election. And that is that the ANC was one seat short of securing control over the Northern Cape. They got just under 50% of the vote there. And the Freedom Front Plus has decided that it's going to go into some sort of agreement with the ANC, backing their control of the province and seeing the election of the Northern Cape's premier. the Freedom Front Plus's Northern Cape leader said they had put four demands on the table for the ANC in return for this, namely the establishment of an implementation agency to solicit public-private partnerships, that the Freedom Front Plus's MPL will take the position of chairperson of local government oversight, that they want there to be a recognition of the constitutional advancement that Orania has made in the quest for self-determination over the past 30 years. That's their term there. And they say that the recognition of the effect that Afrikaner pursued to develop the so-called Northwest Corridor as a home for their language and culture within the framework of the Constitution and Bill of Rights was legitimate as far as government was concerned. On that last point, they say they just want government to say it. They don't necessarily want any action. They just want a symbolic gesture. So, that seems pretty much in keeping with what the FF Plus's manifesto is, which I'm so it's not terribly surprising. It's also not the first time the Freedom Front Plus has actually gone into government with the ANC. I think it was back in 2009 that they actually took up a position in cabinet as a deputy minister of agriculture in Zuma's first government. Am I remembering that correctly, Taryn?
Yes, Deputy Minister of Agriculture. I think actually there were a couple of more localized agreements in the 1990s. I think in Limpopo and possibly also in the Northern Cape. I think that the Freedom Front Plus has been quite a remarkable story of adaptation, along I would say with the Solidarity Movement, where what was essentially a defeated nationalism reconstituted itself, modernized, adapted, and has become a smallish, a niche player, but still nevertheless an important one. I do remember reading an interesting article in the Mail and Guardian probably around 1997 when Orania was starting to be established, and pointing out that they had actually managed to reach a kind of modus vivendi with the provincial government under Manu Dipiko. Not sure what's happened to him. But the idea was that no one particularly wanted the space of real estate. They were, talking about becoming a major tomato exporter. The province would get the revenue, and they were keeping out of everyone's hair, so everyone was pretty much happy with that. And I think that's essentially what they've been able to do. Occasionally, there's some rumblings about it, but does anyone else really want this? But yes, and I think they played their cards here very cleverly. On the one hand, they get a position where they feel they can make a political impact. They are not co-responsible for governance, and this is actually the sort of model that I would counsel the DA and the IFP to take, but the circumstances are a little different. And also that symbolic acknowledgement, it can start with symbolism and it can become very real. Once the government is on record as saying that this is okay, all sorts of things become possible. I think to their great credit, they have effectively abandoned the idea of some sort of secessionist independent state, moving into what I once heard referred to as a tall start, where, they're part of South Africa, but they also, living a sort of distinct distinct communal existence. And if you can make that work, I see no great difficulty with it. I think that multicultural societies around the world are, experimenting with models about how these things can be accomplished. And if the Freedom Front Plus is approaching this in the spirit of, a common nationality and goodwill towards everyone else, why not?
So let's talk about some of the other provinces. The Western Cape has re-elected Alan Windey as the DA premier there, so the DA remains firmly in there with much continuity. It looks like much the same is going to happen in many of the other ANC-controlled provinces, the Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, Limpopo. But KZN and Gauteng are still up in the air. Now, there's been relatively little reporting on Gauteng, but I suspect whatever happens there will follow the national developments. So maybe a DA-ANC coalition there too. I wonder how that's going to go down with Panyaza Lesufi. I can't imagine particularly well. We'll have to see, though, because, like I said, there's been relatively little reporting on that. But there has been a lot more reporting on KZN, which we talked about yesterday. But it seems as though the National Freedom Party, who hold just one seat, but seem to be kind of the balance of power in the KZN legislature, are sort of playing a little bit hard to get. So the IFP, DA, and ANC all together agreed that they were going to nominate a member of the IFP, Mr. Ntuli, who was going to be the premier candidate for that province. And the NFP apparently showed up late to the meeting to discuss this and said, no, we reject him. And since then, they've apparently been seen meeting with MK, or at least people affiliated with MK. So it's very unclear at this stage what's going to happen in KZN tomorrow. I guess we're going to find out. Terrence, what do you make of this? It's all a little bit nerve-wracking for those, I think, waiting to see what kind of government they get in KZN.
Well, look, if I can just cycle back to Gauteng for a minute. You know, I wonder how functional a government would be if there is some sort of shotgun marriage between the DA and the ANC, given the current premier's stated animus towards it, which seems to, you know, be far in excess of what his national colleagues seem to feel. So we await that. Is it possible that they might this might be the great exception, the one that does try and cut a deal with the EFF? These things are not impossible. Perhaps the DA doesn't want the responsibility of being saddled with an unworkable coalition with really hostile partners. On KZN, yeah, you know, this is also what can happen in a fragmented system where you have a one seat party, you know, not even represented at the national level. But yeah, you know, they the NFP has been very close to the ANC over the years, and I suspect that may well have had something to do with an affinity for the Zuma ANC, call it that, and this may well be where they feel that they can get richer pickings for themselves, and also where they may feel at home. Creates a problem, though, if you think about it, because in order to get that, let's say, non-MK coalition, you are going to need to bring together a range of parties with very different constituencies and, I think, very different interests. To add a one-seat party that could destabilize you at a moment's notice, that's a major risk. On the other hand, you were saying that it looks like if the NFP does go with MK, we have a 40-40 split. In other words, we don't have a majority, we just have two camps. We've never been in that situation before, and I'm just lost as to how it would be handled. Does the Speaker of Parliament then? Does the Speaker of the Legislature get a vote? Or?
Presumably there isn't a Speaker So just to be clear, and the other day on the show I messed this up a bit, but the legislature seats in KZN are: the MK Party has 37, the EFF has 2, and the NFP has 1. So altogether that's 40. The IFP has 15, the ANC 14, the DA 11. So that's altogether 40 as well. So with the NFP, there's a 41-seat majority, so just a one-seat majority in KZN. And without the NFP, it's just a tie. So one shudders to think.
What might happen if MK should go to the IFP and say, look, you know, we'll give you everything, just go with us?
Well, apparently they did make overtures about that yesterday. But so far, it seems like the IFP is not particularly interested, partly because I think they're involved on the national level with the ANC and DA, and they perhaps want to play for bigger stakes than just maybe control of KZN, especially where they would be the junior partner. The IFP with 15 seats to the MK's 37 in KZN, that's a very different thing to the other way around, where the IFP would be leading a coalition, as it would have the most seats in KZN of the government then, if MK was excluded. So very exciting. We will find out starting this evening and concluding by the end of tomorrow, what exactly is going to happen in the country. We may delay tomorrow's show a little bit depending on how the votes in Parliament go. So we're normally on Fridays at 1:30, sorry. But that may be a little bit later depending on how or whether the vote for president has taken place or not at that time.
Whatever else may be said, South Africa's politics have become a lot more competitive.
Indeed so. And the next municipal elections are going to be a wild, wild ride. Just go on to News24, go and look at their election results map, and then look at the results in every single municipality in particularly the contested provinces, but also in many places around the country. And you will find an enormous number of them have less than 50%. One party is getting less than 50%. In other words, the potential for those municipalities to flip is there, particularly KZN, of course, which even though MK is the dominant party there, it's still in many municipalities below 50% of the vote. So,
maybe there is a place for shotgun marriages.
Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride no matter what happens. So stay safe out there, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.